Just heard Don't Throw Your Love Away, The Searchers from the album Don't Throw Your Love Away. And previous to that, Now by Dion from the album Wonder Where I'm Bound. Through the Storm by Charles Bradley. Previous to that, Love and Desire by Patrice Holloway from the album Love and Desire, the Patrice Holloway anthology. Touch. The Outsiders from the album Strange Things Are Happening, the complete singles 1965 to 1969. Did you know you can make a request at 516-654-4059? Call or text 516-654-4059. It's 90 degrees in New York. More music now.
But I don't. jabara, say jabara, 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 say jabara. Heptanuka cats don't ever purr. They know how, but not what fur. The Catanuga cats don't go meow. Wouldn't try if they knew how. They're doing that thing.
Jabara, jabara.
They're doing that thing.
Jabara, jabara.
They're doing that thing.
Jabara, jabara.
The Catanuga cats are doing that thing.
Hey, little woman. Do you love that Bobby? Well, you're in for a treat tonight. Bubblegum OD is going to pay tribute to Bobby Sherman and pretty much every other Bobby on the planet. Grab your beer goggles and stay tuned.
Doing that thing.
Yep.
Gingerbread. Crumb picking, lip licking gingerbread. Can't think about rainy weather now. I finally got myself together now. Fresh out of the pan, sweet gingerbread man. Nice sticky hand, sticky peppermint. Sponge sugary cloud, I'm floating on. Sun spread my suit of sugar coating on. All tasty and tan, sweet gingerbread man. Feeling wouldn't trade for anything.
For all the beans.
For all the grain. For all the world. Feel like I'm made out of gingerbread. From picking, lip licking gingerbread. Can't think about rainy weather now. I finally got myself together now.
All tasty and tan, sweet gingerbread man. Fresh out of the pan, sweet gingerbread man.
All together now.
As you know, Bobby Sherman died last Tuesday at the age of 81 from cancer. I'm rerunning this show I created about Bobby in 2021 today to celebrate his life. In reading the online tributes and comments about Bobby, I came across several that were negative. They weren't harsh, they just expressed a dislike of his music or questioned whether he deserved a place in pop history. Some criticized his looks and especially his propensity to wear chokers. I want to say that Bobby matters. Of course, as an adult, I don't hear his music through the same ears that I did when I was five. And what I see behind those sparkling blue eyes is someone who is happily playing the role of a teeny bopper icon, something that is considered Trey uncool. And to those things, I say, so what? So what if his voice isn't as dynamic as Freddie Mercury's, or his songs sound like show tunes? His audience of little girls did not care. And the fact that Bobby so eagerly fit the suit and wore that choker, isn't offensive to me either. He genuinely seemed to enjoy his role, was kind to fans, and didn't resent his teeny bopper fame a la David Cassidy, who was constantly complaining, "I was into Hendrix, man." One thing I noticed while collecting art for this piece is that Bobby didn't take the best photos. He was devastatingly handsome on film. Perhaps these folks just didn't see that in the patented smile that graced his glossies. After his teen tenure ended, Bobby hung up that choker and went to work serving his community, first as a paramedic and later as a reserve police officer and sheriff. He didn't cling to his past or coast on his charisma. Everybody, it's your host Becky here. I don't want to spoil the party, but I need to communicate some vital information for tonight's show. Got some rules to tell you about this Bobby Sherman game we're going to be playing, and I also felt it was my obligation to tell you that Bobby was my boyfriend when I was 5 years old. Full disclosure there. All right, let me tell you what I just played. Well, this is Music to Watch Girls by the Girl Watchers, but originally Bob Crew. See what I did there? I Fought the Law by the Bobby Fuller Four, Bobby by the Cufflinks, and I started the set off with Sweet Gingerbread Man by the Man of the Hour, Bobby Sherman. So I'm going to get ready to play the Bobby Sherman drinking game in a minute, and it's very simple. It may be a little hard to keep up, however, I'd suggest drinking something like beer because there are an awful lot of prompts. So you all know how to play a drinking game, right? We're going to have some keywords that signal when you have to drink. Chug every time these words are said. Additionally, I'm going to blow a whistle. Two words are in play here, okay? Those words are Bobby and Superstar. Our soundtrack will be a record called Bobby Sherman Superstar. I'm going to play like 5 minute segments and then we'll take a break, play a Bobby song so you don't get too loaded. Grab a bite to eat, walk around a little bit, and then we'll get back to the action. The first segment is going to start in a few seconds. So I want to wish you all good luck. Remember, Bobby and Superstar.
Hey, Zana Hosanna. Hey, Bobby Sherman Superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? These lyrics are a bit different than the ones by Tom Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber,
the writers of Jesus Christ Superstar.
But it certainly wouldn't be difficult for that talented team to come up with a smash rock opera about a very now happening superstar, Bobby Sherman. Superstar. Bobby Sherman Superstar. Has a true ring, doesn't it? But what makes a superstar? What makes Bobby Sherman a superstar? Is it superior talent? Or is it those turn-on blue eyes and incredible good looks? Maybe it's the backing and advice of a creative promotion man. It could even be the heart palpitations of the legions of his adoring fans. But most likely, it's a combination of all of these that makes girls from six on up riot at his concerts, scramble for a glimpse of him in his speeding limousine, dream of the days and nights they would like to spend with him, and buy enough of his records to give him 4 gold albums. Yes, Bobby Sherman is a certified in-the-flesh superstar. Bobby will be the first to tell you that he owes at least part of his success to enthusiasm, his fans' enthusiasm, and that of the fan magazines. After all, Bobby has done almost the impossible. He has lasted in a market that sees its idols drop almost daily. Back in the early 60s, Fabian, Frankie Avalon, and the rest of the American bandstand standards could cause the same kind of riots, the same kind of loyalty as Bobby does today. The difference with those fallen heroes and Bobby is that Bobby has staying power. After all, he has had 3 TV shows, Shindig, Here Come the Brides, and Getting Together. All 3 shows are off the air now, but Bobby Sherman is still as big as ever. You will still see his face gracing the cover of every fan and teen magazine on the stands. He still draws the oohs and ahs from those who love him. Why? Because Bobby Sherman is truly a superstar. What causes this loyalty? Could it be the fact that Bobby, besides having talent, is upfront with his fans? He knows who his fans are. He gratefully admits in one of his interviews, "The fact that kids in the 9 to 14 range are my fans, waiting at the gate, considering me a kind of romantic fantasy figure, doesn't bother me at all. It's when they're not around that I'll really start worrying." He knows that although some of his critics call his music bubblegum, that is the music his fans want to hear and buy. It would be wrong for him to ignore his success with this group and try to jump into another style and another audience. It might be a style that doesn't suit him and an audience that doesn't accept him. But this isn't to say that Bobby is standing still. Oh, no. Bobby is constantly trying out new material and always open to new ways of presenting himself. He knows that if he can grow into a different style of music slowly and gradually, his audience will also grow with him. The Beatles did it, Dylan did it, and neither lost their following. The transition wasn't really noticed until it was a reality. Likewise, Bobby realizes the necessity of presenting a fresh approach while keeping the security of tried and true material. He's always turned on by a new challenge in his career and personal life. His enthusiasm, curiosity, and willingness to take a chance is really what makes him a superstar. He's not afraid to let his light shine bright. Bobby sort of shrugs and gently laughs when asked about his overnight success in show business. Self-confidence rather than arrogance comes across when he says, "Actually, I was never of the opinion that you have to starve in order to get ahead in show business. I believe that if you want something enough and are willing to work hard for it, you needn't starve in the process." And hard work is what made Bobby the show business rarity, the overnight success. When Bobby was 8 years old, his father gave him a trumpet. If his father hadn't encouraged the musical talent of his son, Bobby might be a dairy farmer, like his father, instead of the talented professional he is today. The trumpet lessons led to Bobby's interest in the drums, the guitar, the French horn, the trombone, the harmonica, and the piano. He can practically pick up any instrument and play something on it in minutes. Darlene, Bobby's older sister, remembers tripping over one or another of his instruments almost constantly. She laughingly recalls she was always afraid Bobby would get interested in the tuba or the kettle drum. Other kids would bring home frogs or stray puppies, but Bobby could be counted on to find a lame trumpet or a rusted guitar to nurse back to health. If Bobby wasn't fooling around with his music at home, He was playing around his father's dairy farm in Van Nuys, California. His father remembers he was always asking questions about absolutely everything. While he was attending Birmingham High in Van Nuys, he studied Russian just because it sounded interesting. But studying wasn't all he did in high school. If you couldn't find Bobby at home, he was probably at Disneyland. Even now he smiles when he remembers the summers he worked there and the hours he spent just wandering around the grounds. At 13, he started, as he puts it, just fooling around with some balsa wood and ended up building a 33 by 23 foot replica of Disneyland in his backyard. It took him 7 months, but when Bobby starts something, it would take a natural disaster to make him quit before he finishes.
So that was our first segment. Is everybody okay? We'll resume Bobby Sherman Superstar after this song.
Bobby left his home in Briarwood, south to get much higher. Gotta get away from plastic seas. Then he met Pat and decided that that's where it's at. All the people in Seattle filled the news with dirty prattle. Couldn't understand his need, his dreams. Why all the air and the beard and the change in his life? He left his home and his wife, his cat and his drive. The sheriff came and served him with a paper saying, April suing you for a divorce. But such is life, it's so sad that his wife couldn't see. Blinded by his faith in music, Bobby had to go pursue it. Now the dreams become reality. All of the others agree there is no other scene. Do you know what it means to fulfill your dreams? Singers, bands, a lefty and a schoolhouse, looking for a better way of life. Judy and Stevie and Lynn and Miguel all agree. Now we're all a family, and soon the day will come you'll see our smiling faces on TV, oh yeah. Long as the Navy can keep us in space all for free. Do you know what it means to fulfill your dreams at last? Do you know?
Bobby took his first step towards becoming a superstar. Now, singing for free at local parties may seem like a small step, but he had to start somewhere. It was at a 4th of July party at Salminio's house that Bobby started his firecracker career. The Peppermint West Band was playing, and someone asked Bobby to sing a couple of songs. Nervously, he began his numbers. It was a somewhat awesome audience for an amateur like Bobby. True, he had become part of the Young Hollywood set, but playing for people like Jane Fonda, Natalie Wood, Roddy McDowell, and Salminio was a little bit frightening. Nevertheless, Bobby pulled his head together
Bobby
and
persisted.
With a spark of the professionalism he's known for, he proceeded to create quite a stir. His mellow, gentle-to-the-ear voice seemed to caress everyone within listening distance, and by the time he had finished his first song, Sal Mineo had decided that this was a talent to encourage. Through Sal, Bobby was introduced to the right people, the people who could make a young talent a star. Exit Bobby Sherman the amateur, enter Bobby Sherman the climbing star. New York is about as important to an aspiring entertainer as talent, so Bobby headed east for his search for fame and fortune. After going through his material, polishing and repolishing his style for 7 weeks, Bobby had his first recording session as a Decca artist. His first two songs, Man Overboard and You Make Me Happy, put him up on the charts. Shortly before his record was released, he was introduced to ABC producer Jack Good. Shindig was one of Jack Good's pet projects, and he was shopping around for new talent to promote on the show. Bobby fit the bill perfectly, and for 2 years, he was a star on the show. Bobby described the Shindig show as rock and roll with class, and according to about 2 million fans, he was the person who really brought it class. Fan clubs began popping up all over the country for the young singing star, and Bobby's name and picture began appearing regularly on the covers of the fan and teen magazines. When Shindig went off the air, Bobby reaped the profits of respecting and cooperating with his fans and the magazines.
What is the term in AA that they use when the drinker starts making excuses for everything?
But it is still hard for a blossoming.
By the way, if anyone's getting bored, I hope my chirpy little whistle is keeping you active in the game.
This is where the
we're going to take another little break now.
Clubs jumped in.
I live in a jingle jangle jungle. If you ain't got it, you can't be. Fighting over crumbs, wait till payday comes. Getting green ink thumbs from counting while it's mounting. In this jingle jangle jungle I call home. You live in a jingle jangle jungle. If you can't earn it, you ain't free. Well, life is spent trying to meet the rent, paying back the cent you borrow some tomorrow. In this jingle jangle jungle you call home. We live in a jingle jangle jungle. You're only worth what you can buy. So keep on working hard, keep your own backyard. Teach your kids that God ain't fiction, contradiction. In this jingle jangle jungle you call home. I live in a jingle jangle jungle. If it don't jingle, it's gonna fold. All the things you own are only here on loan. It's by bread alone you're living. Call this living. In this jingle jangle jungle we call home. I live in a jingle jangle jungle. Where people die to make some green. Turning men to boys, making new war toys. Dancing to the noise of ticker. Can't get much sicker. In this jingle jangle jungle we call home.
Bobby wanted to prove to himself and to his fans that he was more than a good singer, more than a teenage idol. He knew he had it in him to be an actor, and he decided to prove it. Casting calls are perhaps the roughest part of an actor's career, and for a new and tried actor, they're the worst. No matter how much confidence Bobby had in his acting ability, he knew he was just another aspiring newcomer to the producers. Even his studies of serious drama with Stella Ray and Eric Morris meant little to the rating-conscious producers of TV. Bobby knew he had to have a place to show his talents, so he grabbed every guest shot on TV that came along. He appeared on The Dating Game and was chosen by The Bachelorette. Sure that he'd been picked because of his fascinating charm and scintillating wit, Bobby and his date sped off to Greece for their date. On the trip, the girl explained she had a friend in the audience who signaled her to pick Bobby, bachelor number two. Laughing about the incident today, Bobby admits it was quite a personal ego boost, but a little deflating for his acting ego. His appearance on The Dating Game led to guest shots on Honey West, The Monkees, and The Woody Woodbury Show. It was a grueling time for Bobby, who wanted to do more in the dramatic area. So when the casting call went out for Here Come the Brides, Bobby knew he was ready. Bobby tried for and won the part of the shy, stuttering Bolt brother, Jeremy. Finally, he had the chance to show everyone just what he could do. Even though Bobby was a lot like Jeremy, it wasn't easy for a hip guy like him to practically transport himself to an Oregon mining camp of long ago. How would it sound if Bobby slipped and Jeremy came out with a groovy manner like wow? A little bit out of character, you might say. But as Bobby grew in confidence, his part grew also. Even though the show was basically a comedy, there were times the script called for a more dramatic adventure-type tone. This is the area that Bobby really excelled. He was completely believable as the shy half-man, half-boy who was being forced to grow up mighty fast. The funny thing that happened was that as Jeremy matured on the show, Bobby seemed to change his personal image too. He was no longer just the pretty boy next door. He was quickly becoming a teenage sex idol. The crew neck sweaters were replaced by open neck shirts and a somewhat more roguish appearance, but the impish quality was still there. He never lost the openness, the sincerity that first attracted his fans. So it seems that 1969 was the year Bobby Sherman dropped the boy star image and became a man, and a very sexy one at that. 1961 was also
what
the
now?
Year that
1961?
Bobby showed at number one in the Modern Screen fan mail poll. Bobby had yet to make a movie, and he still outpolled heavies like Elvis and Paul Newman. His star was climbing yet higher and higher. When Brides completed production, Bobby didn't slow down, not one bit. He continued to make concert dates and made several TV guest appearances. He tried to keep busy, and with his own recording studio, that wasn't hard.
We go to play together, we'll be the same forever. We don't like being annoyed.
Gone off the air, Bobby was signed to play the lead in a brand new TV series called Getting Together. Needless to say, his fans were ecstatic. Getting Together was completely different from Here Come the Brides. Bobby played a young musician, and Wes Stern played his lyricist partner. Pat Carroll also starred in this comedy series, and she feels working with Bobby was an experience she'll never forget. Pat recalls when she told her two teenage kids that she was going to be co-starring with Bobby Sherman, the house nearly shook with their yelps of excitement. They were so up for their mother's new role that they pleaded with her to let them come on the set. She did better than that. She actually hired them and one of their friends as her gophers. They couldn't believe that they were actually breathing the same air as Bobby Sherman 10 hours a day.
Didn't they have child labor laws back then?
And the kids have to go back to school. Pat realized that Bobby had been a great influence on her children. Bobby said, "The best thing I think of my career is my parents' appreciation of it. Even with kids camping out on the front lawn all day, they seem to appreciate this enthusiasm for me." When your parents understand your feelings and there's not that so-called generation gap between you, it is really great. The new show demanded more of Bobby. There were fewer actors than on Bride, and therefore more for Bobby to do on this series. So he knew he was going to be spending more time working and decided that the time he had to himself had to be spent profitably. It was time for him to really get out on his own, to get it together for himself. He had a lot of thinking to do about Bobby Sherman, the person, the human being. Surprising, shocking, disappointing, downright unfair are just some of the feelings Bobby's fans had when Getting Together was canceled after only 13 shows. Some people felt the network hadn't given the show a chance and that it had been in a very bad time slot, but ratings is the name of the game in TV and off it went. Bobby's ego was a bit tarnished, but he knew that if one thing didn't work out, he just had to try something else. This star's light didn't even flicker.
So Bobby told his fans to march on down to that TV station and demand a recount. Here's Bobby Bloom. Time.
Bobby is a star planted firmly in the heavens. He's no blazing comet flashing through the sky one minute and sputtering downwards the next. Attachment of others all help Bobby attain his celestial position. But it might be interesting to see how the stars actually affected Bobby's career. Even if you don't believe in astrology, it might be fun to look into Bobby's chart. On July 22nd in the year 1946, Bobby Sherman was born to Juanita and Robert Sherman. He was a healthy boy, and as the sun shone in Juanita Sherman's hospital room, it was decided to call the newest addition Robert Cabot Sherman, Jr. As the proud parents looked at their wrinkled, already well-voiced son, they dreamed of what he might become and of all the happy days and years they would share together. And as the happy family shared those first hours, the sun, the moon, and all the planets were spinning in their natural harmony, each one affecting this new infant in a unique way. From the moment this male child was born in Santa Monica, California, the heavens began exerting their influence, an influence that many believe would help shape his personality, his career, his success in life. Bobby's chart is very complex. His sun, which is determined by his birthday, July 22nd, is Cancer on the cusp of Leo. So he really is influenced by both signs, Cancer and Leo. Often, cusp-born people come into great conflicts because they are pulled by two influences. But other times, they find what they lack under one sign is strengthened by the other sign. Bobby seems to be one of these. Cancer is a water sign, and those under this sign are often sympathetic and emotional people, while Leo, a fire sign, seems to govern people of great enthusiasms and leadership qualities. Already, it is easy to see the influence Cancer and Leo have on Bobby. Cancer is the sign of strong-willed and persistent people whose approach to life is active enthusiasm no matter what. They are interested in everything new and progressive, and are often the front runners from fads to actual advancements in society. Friendships, even from the past, are important to the Cancer. As a matter of fact, Cancers are souvenir savers, and often this penchant for saving turns into an interest in collecting art objects, antiques, and old books. Whatever the interest is, though, it is attacked with complete dedication and knowledge. The emotional side of a Cancer is very responsive to love and approval of others. That is why so many Cancers are entertainers. They like the give and take that is possible with an audience, especially when the audience receives them warmly. Bobby shares this sun sign with two of the greatest entertainers we have known, Louis Armstrong and Ringo Starr. The other sun sign that influences Bobby's individuality is the fire sign Leo, and it seems that in combination with Cancer, show business was a natural road to follow. Leos are open, trusting people who will accept responsibility. As their virtues are strong, so are their ambitions. They know how to apply their talents to the best end, and this, coupled with their natural self-confidence, often puts them on top. However, they also need the approval and even adulation of others to continually reaffirm themselves. They need more affection than the average person, but they also can give more. They love completely when they find that right person.
Who cares about other Leos?
Sometimes their self-confidence can get them into difficult or even dangerous situations. No challenge is left untried, and their ambitious approach to life can get them in over their heads at times.
But what about Bob?
But nothing will stop a Leo from trying to reach his goal. Bobby seems to be a good combination of the two signs. His love of family and friends, his desire to help others, his stylish dress, his modern viewpoints, and his enthusiasms for life and its challenges all seem to be from his Cancer side. His ambition, his self-confidence, and eagerness to try new and different areas seem to have a Leo origin. And the two signs combined give him the desire to show love, to entertain others, while needing the affirmative responses only gotten from an audience. So it seems that Bobby is what you might call a natural-born showman.
In bed.
Better stay away from, better stay away from, better stay away from her. I know what you're thinking. Her lips must taste like wine. But you know, mind. Before you go, the room is so
sign is Taurus, which he shares with many show business greats such as Helen Hayes, Sophia Loren, Greta Garbo, and even the master writer William Shakespeare. Appreciation of the arts and even an actual ability is common, especially in music. And not surprisingly, the throat is the most vulnerable part of the anatomy of a Taurian moon child. He also has to watch out for and take care of his throat. Nothing should ever happen to those golden vocal cords. If he's careful about the pitfalls, the chart seems to again reaffirm a successful career in music and show business. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, Neptune, and Venus all have special influences over Bobby's chart. They seem to be integral parts in the jigsaw puzzle that makes Bobby Sherman. Charm and actual genius are the gifts of Neptune. These gifts enable the higher Neptune child to foresee and go beyond common limitations. They have vision and the ability to achieve their most formidable ideals. What does Bobby sing about? Love, personal and universal. The final planet in Bobby's chart is Venus, the planet of love and romance. The position of Venus in the horoscope determines love life, popularity, and attraction to the opposite sex. Obviously, Venus is a very important planet. A well-respected Venus endows the person with beauty, good fortune, and the ability to get along with others, especially in love relationships. Bobby's Venus is in Virgo, which is a great position for one who has chosen acting and singing as a career, but a difficult one for a steady, contented love affair. Through fear of being hurt, love is not easy for the Virgo Venus. Often these people prefer solitude and to keep friendships and love affairs at a distance. It is not that they don't feel love, for often they are some of the greatest humanitarians, but it does seem easier on their emotions to spread their love out among many.
Loophole!
Again, this is often a sign for actors, those who are able to express to an audience the emotions they keep locked up inside themselves. Many of Bobby's friends have grown to respect this need in him for time to himself. Even his parents understood when he locked himself in his recording studio, not even seeing them for days at a time. When he decided that he should find a house of his own, they knew it was the right thing. But there are still times Bobby wishes he could just meet an old friend for a Coke and a rap session.
Wherever you are tonight, a feeling tells me that you look out of sight. So I'm gonna blow you a kiss in the wind. Reaches your lips, my dear. You're gonna smile and feel me oh so near. So I'm gonna blow you a kiss in the wind. I've been laying here in my bed. Pretty images. Goodness, I miss you and I want you so much. Wherever you are tonight, I got a feeling that you look out of sight. So I'm gonna blow you a kiss in the wind. I'm gonna blow you a kiss in the wind.
Don't throw in the towel. Now you can find out if you're compatible with Bobby.
With Venus in Virgo, it might be difficult for Bobby to find love, true love that he can trust and depend on, but he will find it. When the right girl comes into his life, he'll know, and the determination and perseverance he has shown towards his career will be in action here, too. And what about Bobby's love life? Of course, no biography of this superstar would be complete without a look at the romantic side, the secret tender side of Bobby. He has often been linked with girls, regular next-door neighbor girls, and gorgeous starlets. He's even had articles written about his secret marriage, not true, and ones about his preference to keep his girlfriends away from his career, true. Bobby admits he has pretty definite ideas concerning the girls he'd like to date. They have to be feminine, but not frilly and silly. A certain amount of sophistication is important, too. After all, Bobby does know some pretty chic people, and his girlfriend would be expected to hold her own with them, too. But no matter how much sophistication is required for his lady, she must also approach life with a bit of innocence.
Sophisticated
and naive.
Bobby thinks
it's absolutely great to show a girl something new, something she's never seen before. And if she can be enthusiastic about the most informal kind of date, like a drive-in movie, she'll definitely get along with him at a movie premiere. As for looks, Bobby doesn't think Sophia Loren assets are necessary.
Oh, here it comes.
The important thing is to always look natural and together. Bobby says it may sound like a publicity stunt, but he would rather be seen with a well-scrubbed, all-American-looking girl than anyone else. That's why he prefers to date his fans.
They're 9 years old.
And the dozens of young starlets and models he sees in the Hollywood night spots. Most important is that the girl likes Bobby for himself and not because he's a superstar. He has to be sure of her true feelings before he allows himself to get involved at all. That's part of his Venus in Virgo defense. When asked about the fact that he likes to date his fans, Bobby said, "Yeah, I think it's groovy. I don't date the ones who just sit there and don't say anything, but I date the ones who have knowledge, yet are not really affected by it. They are just groovy people, and it's easier to communicate with them. I don't like to date girls in show business because it's a kind of competitive thing. I find it much easier just to date my fans."
Again, they're 9 years old.
You see, when Bobby finds a girl he's interested in, he lets her know it. He's obviously affectionate and considerate. If his date sees something in a store window and admires it, it isn't too surprising for her to receive it as a gift the next day. There is nothing Bobby wouldn't do to make his girl feel special, because that's what love is all about to him. Bobby loves a girl who is willing to try new things. He shies away from discotheques and nightclubs, so his date must like to do fun things like stop in on quiet parties or even stay at home and watch TV for the evening.
That way he doesn't pass any
beach
store windows.
Beach barbecues are a favorite date for Bobby, especially when it's warm enough to take a midnight swim and sit around a bonfire to dry off afterwards. Bobby has even been known to pick up his date and surprise her with a day at Disneyland, or a trip to an aquarium, and maybe a drive along the beautiful California coastline before calling it a night.
Where there are no costly store windows.
If a girl is up for surprises, she's Bobby's kind of girl. And when Bobby's in love, he's bound to be a bag full of surprises. That's the only problem. Sometimes he thinks he spends too much time thinking about being in love and not enough time working. Love seems to lessen his power of concentration, but he still will be the first to admit love is the greatest feeling in the world.
I'm back with more Bubblegum OD as we approach the end of our Bobby Sherman drinking game. I have a question for you, Bubblegummers. How many fingers am I holding up? The marathon is nearly over. We just have one more set, and I wanted to back announce some songs. This is Lay Lady Lay, the Ferrante and Teicher version, but the original's by Bob Dylan, Robert Zimmerman. I'm Gonna Blow You a Kiss in the Wind by Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart. Bittersweet. I'm sorry. This is obnoxious because a lot of Bobs, I'm doing that ba-ba-ba thing where it's really obnoxious on their microphone. I played Bittersweet by the Robs for John Kelly Green, who designed the Bubblegum OD logo. I played Bobby Bloom, Double B's, great. His song was Montego Bay. And The Stirring Puppy Bobby by Cafe Con Leche. A couple of nine-year-olds doing the best that they can. Jingle Jangle Jungle was by Bobby Darin. And The Pretty People gave us Bobby's thing. How many times do you think this gal said Bobby over the course of this record? Come into my chat room before Bubblegum OD ends and guess. You've got about 10 minutes, so chip chip. Hey, you know what I like to do? After a couple of brewskis and bubblegum, I like to boogie to some prime 60s fuzz, psych, punk, and beat music. That's why I stay tuned to The Wig Out with Glennis and Richard on WFMU's Rock and Soul. So don't change that dial. Break's over. Now get back to your drinking.
If he's convinced he can devote enough time to a wife and children, there would be nothing to stop him. But that's the problem. Right now, Bobby is always on the go. Location shooting, concert dates, even early and late rehearsal calls, plus his work in the recording studio. And Bobby knows that unless everything is right in a romance, someone is going to get hurt. He said, I think it's sometimes hard for two people to have something together and not end up hurting each other in some way. Human nature just seems to work like that. This is the reason Bobby has tried to keep his girlfriends on a very open, understanding level. So it seems that Bobby is going to continue putting off settling down for the time being. But no matter what girl Bobby chooses, she will have to be understanding, patient, and wise enough to know that he needs a certain amount of freedom. She'll have to live with lonely nights when Bobby is on tour or just working in his recording studio. She'll have to be able to just pick up and go with him when he wants her to fly east for a benefit or an awards night. She'll have to just be there when he needs her, when he just wants someone to talk to and discuss his dreams with. But most of all, she'll have to be an individual who can be strong enough to lead her own life and not walk in Bobby's shadow.
So an independent
slave.
Whoever
the future Mrs. Robert Sherman Jr. will be, you know she's got to be absolutely dynamite, and Bobby's fans will love her just as much as he does. At least for the time being, Bobby has decided to keep his love life in neutral, but his career is another subject. Right now, it is proceeding at full speed. With three TV shows and countless guest appearances to his credit, Bobby has decided to try and diversify. Now he can pick and choose what TV show he'd like to guest. He might do another special like the one he did in the fall of 1971, and he hopes to be able to do more dramatic roles like the one he had on Mod Squad this past February. He played a young boy who was in love with the daughter of a racing horse stable owner named Keller. Keller, who was a powerful man in the county, arranged secretly to have Bobby arrested and sent to jail for possession of dope. The story really began when Bobby was released from jail and parole, and Pete of the Mod Squad wanted to help him. Bobby sees his girlfriend, finds out that she has had a baby while he was in prison, and that her father has made her give their son up. This leads the young couple to kidnap their own child and make a futile attempt to escape to Mexico.
I love that story.
With Pete's help, they return, and Bobby has a dramatic confrontation with Keller. It is in this scene that Bobby shows his true acting ability. You can see the frustration and anger the young boy feels, the contradicting emotions of love for his new family and hate for Keller, the desire to prove his innocence and his need for revenge. Bobby's hosts on the Mod Squad were so impressed with his talent and ability to get right into his character that they decided he would definitely be asked to do another show. There have been offers and a few opportunities for Bobby to get into feature films, but he feels that at this point it might be a little premature. Films, romance, singing, acting, yes, these are all part of Bobby's life, a major part of his life. But there's another side to Bobby that even some of his fans don't know about.
Oh, werewolf?
You see, Bobby is grateful for all the opportunities he has had, but he knows there are kids who have very little to look forward to. He first came face to face with this when he was in Memphis, Tennessee, giving a concert. He had just finished his encore and was feeling pretty good, for the concert had been an incredible success. The mayor of Memphis approached him and asked him if he could visit a 14-year-old girl who missed the show because she was in the hospital. When Bobby went to see her, he found a very brave young girl who only the day before had an operation for cancer. The doctors had to amputate her leg. Bobby gave her a private concert and talked to her for an hour or so. But when he left her room, he knew he had to do more than that for her and other kids like her. Cancer kills more teenagers than any other disease. So he started the Bobby Sherman Cancer Research Fund of Concern Foundation. Bobby believes it is each and everyone's responsibility to make the changes needed in this world. If his songs or his acting or his movies give a little bit of enjoyment, make one person smile, then all the hard work and effort is worth it. But there still are diseases, wars, ghettos, and unhappiness, and he is determined to use his success to make these things of the past. He has said, I believe that the world's an enormous do-it-yourself project. Sure, life shakes us up. That's to warn us we've a lot more to learn. And you can be sure that Bobby Sherman will never stop learning, never stop growing, and never stop trying to make the world a better place for us all. That's what makes him Bobby Sherman superstar.
Right on, Bobby!
Well, we were busted flat in Baton Rouge, head heading for the trains, feeling nearly faded as my jeans, faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. Took us all the way to New Orleans, to New Orleans. Then I took my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana and was blowing sand while Bobby sang the blues, the blues. With them windshield wipers slapping time and Bobby clapping hands, we finally sang up every song
that driver knew.
Sang every song that driver knew.
Freedom's
just another word for nothing left to lose. And buddy, that was good enough for me
and Bobby McGee.
Me and Bobby, oh Bobby McGee. From the coal mines of Kentucky to the California sun, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul
Dude. Standing right beside me, Lord, through everything I'd done.
Every night she kept me from the cold, from the cold. Then somewhere near Salinas, Lord, I let her slip away, looking for the home I hope she'll find. I'd trade all of my tomorrows for a single yesterday, holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, and nothing left is all she left for me, left for me.
Feeling good was easy, Lord, when
Bobby sang the blues.
And buddy, that was good.
And buddy, that was good.
Buddy, that was good.
Good enough for me
and Bobby McGee. Me and Bobby McGee.
Screaming deep in me and I know kind of sound. Siren, the Daybreakers from Iowa, 1967. They're only 45. That is on the Dial label, a label more known for soul and R&B than for, oh man, ragers like that. But I love that 45. It's like these teenagers who maybe had never had anything more than a couple of beers in their life, trying to write a psychedelic song, and then that's what comes out. They got this psychedelic siren wailing in the night. I love the lyrics too. Banana's just a fruit to me. The peel lays on the ground. Oh, yeah, baby. Thank you, Daybreakers. I could imagine that being a big hit in this very specific window in late 66. It occupies a space for me somewhere between You're Gonna Miss Me by the Elevators and I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night. That fits just perfectly on the original Nuggets to me as what could have been a hit. I wonder how much radio play that got in the Midwest and anywhere else back in the 60s. All right, the Daybreakers are only 45. All right, you're tuned to the Wig Out here on WFMU's Rock and Soul Radio Stream. I'm Richard Wig, honored and privileged to be blasting out the Blastables here as we do every week. And the Daybreakers 45, going back to that for a minute here. I remember when Glynis and I were part of the Fringe Factory team. Yes, Vicky V and the Fringe Factory, which you can hear Wednesday nights on the Rock and Soul Stream. We were on AM radio together, the three of us, for a while in Atlanta. And we kept getting these calls from this creep one night. It was talk to us. I'm not even going to repeat some of the things that this creep was saying when we'd pick up the phone. So one time I picked it up and I said, "Hello, AM 1690. This is the psychedelic siren." Woo! And I hung up and they never called back again. All right, so if you ever get hassled on the phone, go to the psychedelic siren. It takes care of business for you, baby. All right, this is Swingin' Sundays, Rock and Soul Stream style. Becky, Bubblegum OD, 7 p.m. gets things started, and here we are flipping out at the Wiggin Hour. All right, baby, 8 to 9 o'clock. And then at 9, Harry closes out the weekend in style with the Fun House. All right, let's go to Delaware. I want to move, baby.